Blog Talk Radio.
Having prophetic training and activation workshop. October the 27th, 28th, and 29th. October the 27th and 28th, it will be from 6:30 to 9:30. October 29th, it will be 9 to 5. It's a 10-session workbook, Head of Osea, where the man of God, Apostle Emmons, he's Kingdom Builders covering, will be teaching on spiritual gifts and the prophetic realm and taking you through training and activation. The hosting church is a Greater Straightway Full Gospel, 10359 South King Drive. And we also having a prophetic training and activation workshop in Detroit, Michigan, November the 17th, 18th, and 19th. The location will be told as soon as we get a location. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And if you need any more information or you want to register for the workshop, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org or www.kingdombuilders.org. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, tonight we have a man of God, the Bishop of God Harbor for All Souls. Hallelujah, Jesus. The man of God is going to come forth with a word in his belly from the Lord, Bishop Odell McFarland Jr. Glory be to God. Bishop, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Evangelist.
Hallelujah, God. I yield the mind to you, man of God.
Thank you so much, Evangelist. It's a joy, it's a privilege to be on this line to impart the word of the living God. And right before we share the word of God, we want to thank you, Evangelist, for allowing the Lord to lead and guide and direct. And we would like to pray for everyone to receive this word today. Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ, the Son of the living God, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to come to receive the engrafted word of the living God. And Father, we thank you that you have given your Son, who gave his life, who shed his blood, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might be in you. And Father God, even now, we ask that the word of the living God go forth over this internet, over the airwaves, in the mighty name of Jesus, and that every heart receive the engrafted word of the living God to fulfill their destiny, to fulfill the plan, the purpose, and the design that God created them to fulfill, which is to have a relationship with him. And Father, we thank you in advance that every force of hell, every demon, every devil must cease and desist from distracting the word of the living God from going into the hearts of the people that receive this word tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, and by the faith of the living God, we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's a joy. It's a privilege to be able to impart the word of the living God to those that are on this line. And we know whoever is on this line, God has ordained you to be here. And we just have a word from the Lord. We want to share with you what we call relationship. And relationship is so important because with the relationship, you develop a force within the earth with God against every force against him, which is the forces of evil, which is the forces of the enemy. And we're going to use and style this relationship through the first relationship that God established on the earth. It's his plan, it's his purpose, and it was his design for the world to evolve around this relationship, which would also be a model for the relationship that we would establish with him. And that relationship is marriage. But I first want to go into the difference between friendship, the difference between partnership, and the difference between a relationship. In a friendship, there is two bonded individuals that would like to have a relationship in the form of exchange, exchanging one friendship for another, exchanging one invitation for another. For example, if one was invited to a birthday party, a friend would then in turn invite their friend to their birthday party. If one gave a gift, then the friend in exchange would give a gift to their friend. Same way in a partnership. When you go into a partnership in business, profits are expected. And when you obtain profits, the partnership expectation would be that you would share equally. If you made $5,000, one would get $2,500 and the other would get $2,500. It would not be a partnership as one was getting $500 and the other one would receive $4,500. After a while, the other partner would walk away. But what I'm saying is this is the standard of relationships that have been established in the world, even in marriages. They consider themselves friends, and it's wonderful to be a friend and married to what we call a friend. It's beautiful to have a partnership. But what a true God relationship represents, it takes out the part of exchange and it gives one's total being to that relationship. When we talk about a relationship that is bonded in God, we talk about a relationship that God gives his all. He gave his son, who gave his life, who shed his blood that we might have eternal life. What did he get in exchange? He got a sinner. He got a drug addict. He got a dope addict. He got a prostitute. He got someone that rebelled against him. He got absolutely nothing for his exchange. And that's the relationship that we are looking for when we have a relationship with God. It's giving all of ourselves with no expectation. And God gave his all with nothing expected but us to give our all to him. And so in a marriage, I'd like to read and base the word of God upon scripture. We find that God is a creator. He's a creator, and he's also our redeemer. And everything he created, the Bible said, was good. And so he created something that had never existed on the face of the earth, and that was marriage. And we find that in Genesis, the second chapter, and the 18th verse, it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him." In other words, God had created the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle on the land. But man had no relationship with someone that he could bond with. So God said, it's not good that man be alone. It's not good that man live his life out of himself. It's not good that we are totally dependent on our choices and the things that we establish in our minds and the things that we want to do. When you establish a lifestyle based on your flesh, based on your own decisions, based on what you think is right, you have left God out of the equation. And it's not good that man live alone, not just a husband and wife relationship, but without God in your life, you are like a ship without a sail. And so God said, it's not good that man have no helpmate. And so in the 21st division, in the 21st verse of Genesis, the second chapter, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So here we find that God takes from the man a rib and creates from his own self a woman. And then he created the woman and he brought the woman to a man. Let's stop here and think about what God has just done. Because he's made a creation called man in his likeness and in his image. And then from man, he takes a rib and then he does another creation of a woman that comes from the very form and shape and image and likeness of a man, which was also created in the likeness and image of God. So if God created something, and the Bible said that everything that God created was good, think about marriage. Marriage was never intended to be anything but good, because God created it. This is not a man creation. This is not a man conception. This is not man's imagination. This is not man's plan. Glory to God. But marriage is a creation of God. And therefore, what the enemy has done is attacked the very plan, the purpose, the design that God created, which was marriage, which he wanted to establish this relationship and form the very existence of our world that sprung forth from a man and a woman. And the man and the woman represented that marriage. And so for centuries and for years, the enemy has attacked this relationship called marriage. And now we have more divorces in the church than we have in the world, which is a disgrace. It is abomination. In fact, God said, I hate divorce. Why? Because what he created is something that he formed to form the world and to allow the world to function and operate in the order that he has ordained it to operate in. But man has gotten in, and they call it shacking up. Man has gotten in, and men marrying men, women marrying women, divorces at its highest rate, because this is a direct attack upon the plan and the purpose that God created marriage for. And so here we find in the 23rd verse, it says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Notice it said the man and his wife. It didn't say the man and his girlfriend. It didn't say the man and his mistress. It didn't say the man and his man. It didn't say the woman and the woman. It said the man and his wife. So we find that the relationship of marriage was created by God. Now let's look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's go over to the 22nd verse. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now you can see the submission is because man was created by God, and then God took from man a rib and formed the woman. And so here we find the submission of a woman to a man should be as the body of Christ should be to the Lord. We should submit to the Lord even as a woman submits to her husband. Let me stop here as a sideline, not a rabbit trail, but a focal point, and that is, women, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to cry out to God before you get married. Not after you get married, but before you get married. And one of the things that you have to identify with, God set the standard. God created the marriage. And he said a woman, a wife, should submit to her husband. So you should not marry a man that you're not willing to submit to. And the man should not marry a woman that is not willing to submit to him. Now, what are you submitting to, women? Wives, you're submitting to your husband as if you were submitting to the Lord. One of the things that I challenge in a marriage is find a mate that loves God more than they love you. Find a husband that loves the Lord more than they love you. Find a wife that loves the Lord more than they love you. And then you will not have any problem submitting yourselves to your husband. Listen to the next verse. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So we find that the husband, God has a order. It's God the Father, it's God the Son, it's then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children. That's an order. God is a God of plan, he's a God of purpose, he's a God of design, and he's a God of objectivity. God does not wishy-wash, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. God has set the standard. And if marriage is going to represent the form of godliness that God created it to represent and form the world in an orderly manner, we have to understand that God is not putting down the woman. He's not putting down the children. He's not putting down Jesus. He's just set a standard for us to go by. And so that standard is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And then we find that the husband will then be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Here again is the establishment of the model marriage representing the relationship that the church should have to Christ Jesus. Let's go on to look at the 24th verse. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So when you are contemplating marriage, you need to find out what are some what are some of the things that the man that you are anticipating marrying, what are some of the things that he does? Does he sit at home and watch the football games on Sunday? Does he go out with the boys every night? And does he gamble? Does he smoke? Does he drink? What are some of the things that your man, before you marry, is involved in? Is he praying in the Holy Ghost? Is he seeking the face of God? Is he studying to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? You want to establish a relationship with someone that are doing things that please God. Is he a man that believes God, trusts God, stands on the word of God? What are some of the things that that man is involved in? Because where his heart is where his desires are. And so we find that if you marry a man, you have to submit to him in everything. Now, if you are a woman that loves God, and you love to pray, and you love to seek the face of God, and you love to go to church and fellowship with the people of God, you better find somebody that loves to do those same things, or you will find yourself in a dilemma that God never intended for you to be in. And so here we go again. In the next verse, it says, husbands, love your wives. How are you to love them? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, the Bible is clear on the relationship. It's a love. It's an agape love. It's not an exchange. You love me and I'll love you. You give me and I'll give you back. It's a love that gives its total self to that wife. What do you need? What do you want? What can I do for you? God said, as the husband loves the wife, as Christ loves the church, and Christ gave himself for the church. Now you're marrying a man that will be willing to give himself totally, completely for you. And that is a relationship that is bonded by agape. It's agape love. It's unconditional love. It's love when she's going through hot flashes. It's love when she's pregnant and she doesn't feel up to her obligations. It's love when she snaps up and she doesn't say the right thing. She doesn't do what you want her to do. It's agape love. Jesus gave himself for the church. He gave up his deity in heaven for an exchange of deity on this earth, where he allowed his very being to give itself up for the church. And so, wives, you don't have to worry about a man that is operating in agape love. Here it says in the 26th verse, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ, listen at this, and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So here we find that the marriage not only is a model for the way God intended the cities, the states, the church, and all existing communities to operate in, but he also created marriage as a model for how the church should have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the three elements of a relationship that differs from a friendship and a partnership. Number one, we have to look at Jesus and his relationship with the Father. He said, what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I say. He said, the Father has shown him all things. So the first thing we have to look at in a relationship as we relate it to the church and Christ is intimacy, agape, unconditional love. There's not too many of us on this line that will just share our deepest secrets with anyone. We will find people that we trust, people that we have confidence in, people that we know will not divulge our business. We meet and encounter many people throughout the day, but there are just a very few people normally in the average life that the average individual would just share intimate, valuable, secret things only with those that they trust. The Father shared intimate things with the Son, and Jesus wants us to share intimate things with him. Do you have habits, pornography, doing things behind closed doors, doing things that when someone walks in the room, you change the channel because you have inappropriate things on the television? You're slipping and dipping and doing things on the internet that you have no business doing. You're going to movies that you have no business going to. See, God wants you to be intimate with him and uncover everything that's not like God. Bring it to the Father through the Son and allow every area of your life to be transparent with him. Tell him like it is. Tell him when you're hurting. Tell him when you're in pain. Tell him when you're misunderstood. Tell him when you're lonely. You can be in a mass place with huge numbers of people, but on the inside you're hurting. On the inside you're lonely. Jesus wants us to have an intimate relationship with him where we can tell him anything. A husband and wife should be likewise. Then in a relationship that is bonded to Christ, it should be dependency. Everything we do, the Bible said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Jesus had such a dependency on the Father that there was nothing that he did unless he saw his Father do it. There was nothing he said except he heard his Father say it. And this is the relationship that God wants the church to have with his Son Jesus. We should not venture into anything without acknowledging him. We should not make a move without praying and seeking the face of God. This is why we have so many marriages headed to divorce court, because we marry someone because they have a good job, because they drive a fine car. We marry someone because their hair is long and their shape is wavy. We marry somebody because of their reputation of having a good position, a great education. But do they love God? Do they love God more than they love you? Do they love God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind and all of their strength? Oh, they may not have the shape you want. They may not have the position that you want them to have. They may not drive the car that you want them to drive. They may not live in the home that you want them to live in. But oh, if they love God, if they love God more than they love you, you can trust them. You can depend on the favor of God resting upon their life. And so Jesus had a relationship with the Father that was not only intimate, but it was dependency upon the Father in every move he made. And then there was the third element of this relationship that Jesus had with his Father, and that was obedience. He obeyed the Father even to the death of the cross. And the relationship that we should have, if God said it, that should settle the issue. If God said, do good for evil, bless those that curse you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men speak ill will against you. Whatever the word of God says, we should immediately obey him. Because the Bible said it's better to obey than to offer your sacrifices. The Bible said if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And I'm persuaded that not anything in the word of God that God has instructed us to do is against us. It is for us. It will build us up where we're torn down. It will strengthen us where we're weak at. It will make the crooked straight in our life. It will open up doors. It will make ways. It will fight battles for us. If we can only learn to obey the word of the living God. The flesh does not want us to obey him. The flesh wants to detour. But I promise you today, if you obey the word of the living God, you shall live an abundant life of grace and mercy, and the will of God will be performed in your life. So here we have intimacy, we have dependency and obedience that make up that wonderful relationship that we have in Christ. And it's all modeled in marriage. Let me read you another scripture from the book of Peter. 1 Peter 3:1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Wives, I'm persuaded that you are the hub, you are the key of success in your marriage. Even when a husband has gone astray, even when a husband is not rooted and grounded and anchored, and even if you made the mistake and married a man that didn't love God more than they loved you, you can take your lifestyle. You can take your lifestyle and live a life before your husband that will cause his life to be altered. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Notice they didn't observe your gossip, your backbiting, your getting on the telephone and telling all of your business and gossiping and complaining. But they observe, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear or reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of planting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel. Meaning it's not just a fashion show your husband needs. He needs to see the power of God in your life. He needs to see a woman that can get a prayer through. He needs to see a woman that will stand firm in a chaste lifestyle and not compromise, not gossip, not backbite, that will keep the home clean, that will discipline and train up their children and will be there with a meal when he needs one and all of the things that are needed to compile a successful marriage can be shown through your life. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God considers your spirit man a great price when it's meek, when it's quiet, when it's under the control of the Holy Ghost. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, listen at this, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Listen at this. That your prayers be not hindered. Now, that's a dangerous statement. If husband and wife's relationship is in a mess, in an upheaval, it's in disarray, don't you know that will hinder your prayers? We had a young lady that had a son jumped on and gangs jumped on him, but because she had a life, her son was spared. We want to be in a position to get a prayer through. Why would you want to be married to someone and all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long, it's nothing but arguing and bickering and fussing and fighting? Your prayers will be hindered. You need to understand the relationship that God had with his son Jesus was a harmonious relationship. He could share everything with his son. His son would uphold everything the father said, everything the father showed him. And that's the relationship God wants us to have with him. And if you're considering marriage, if you are married, if you never want to get married, but somebody needs to know the wisdom of marriage, and you can impart that to them, you need to know it's all wrapped up in a beautiful relationship. It's so important that we understand, and I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to give you some very important facts. The marriage union really is the closest relationship that can exist between two human beings. You see, when a man and a woman decide to join together in marriage, what do? They should do so with full realization of their responsibility. Why? Because marriage is serious business. You can't just make a vow to God and then break it. You can't just say, I want to marry him because he's got a good job. You better know what you're doing, because marriage represents the very form that God created to set and establish the world. He not only established marriage for that, but as a model for the relationship between the church and Christ. And so marriage is the establishment of God himself. It's a creation of God. And when we dishonor our marriage vows, when we divorce and we don't operate as God had designed marriage to be, then we place ourselves in a very vulnerable position. You see, when two born-again believers know it's God's will for them to marry, they come together before God, before a minister, before witnesses to join their hearts and lives for eternity. As one of our precious sisters said, contracts can be broken. Covenants are forever. They make a public profession of their mutual love and devotion, pronouncing vows and pledging their lives to each other. And so as they pronounce the marriage vows, they do it in faith. The power of God goes into operation, and a miracle takes place. They are united by God, and they become as one in his sight. Listen, this union is threefold. They are joined together spiritually by God, and then legally by the contract they enter into, and physically when the marriage is consummated. A husband and a wife are joined together as Jesus is joined to the church. It's a miracle union. How can we tamper with what God created and feel that we can get away with it and God smile on our mess? Well, the marriage is something that I want to challenge. I was married for 40 years to one of the most wonderful, beautiful women on the face of this earth, Magnolia McFarlane, who is now in the presence of Almighty God. She's rejoicing with the angels. And I so respect marriage because I know it works. I know that marriage can be harmonious. I know that marriage can be bonded. I know that a husband can love his wife as Christ loved the church. I know that a wife can submit to her husband when that husband represents a Christ that is willing to give himself everything to that woman. We bonded so that when she thought something, I spoke it. When I spoke something, she was thinking it. You can have such a bond, such a love relationship that everywhere you go, someone will see your marriage and represent that relationship as one that only God can create. I'm going to close this by giving you seven F's. You can write this down. You can memorize it. That will bond your marriage together. And if you see your marriage, or you see the person that you're thinking about marrying, if you have problems and challenges, one of these F's are missing. Something is lacking. So go back and check your list and find out what's missing. Number one, in a marriage, the husband and wife should both fear God. That's the first F, fear God. What does that mean? It means to reverence him, respect him. But I like to make it real simple. Fearing God is wherever you are. Husband, you're on a business trip, you're in a hotel. Don't do anything behind your wife's back that you wouldn't do in front of God. Wives, you're at an all-women's retreat. Don't do anything at that woman's retreat, gossip, backbite, that you would not do in the presence of God. So whatever you do in front of your husband, whatever you do in front of your wife, whatever you do behind their back, whatever you do when they're not around, It represents the fear of God. It represents the reverence of God. It says, God, whatever I do it in reverence and respect to you. Whether my wife is around, whether my husband is around, it's not about that. I love you more than I love them. So it's the fear of God that will keep you doing everything in respect of reverencing God. Now, what will the fear of God bring into your marriage, into your relationship? It will bring the favor of God. It will bring the favor of God. That favor will go where money can't go. That favor will go where your credit report can't go. That favor will raise up people to do things for you when you never expected it to be done. I'd rather have the favor of God than an A-rate credit report. I'd rather have the favor of God than millions of dollars in the bank. My son said today, and it's so true, Mr. Job was a multi-billionaire. He had enough money to buy hospitals, doctors, nurses, and everything that he needed in order to recover from his condition. But all of his money could not save his life. Think about it. We are running after money. We're running after fame. We're running after fortune. But this man had billions and billions and billions of dollars. But it was not enough to save his life. But the favor of God, when the doctor shakes his head and walks away from your bed, the favor of God will raise you up. When the doctor says there is no hope, the favor of God will bring forth hope. So don't live for finances. Live for the favor of God. And the third thing, in that relationship, you should be friends. Not just on a buddy-buddy, not just on an exchange, but friendship where you're able to share your heart. Abraham was God's friend. And God said, can I hide this thing from Abraham? He's my friend. I've got to share it with him. I have an intimate relationship with him. There should be nothing that you should not be able to share with your mate. And all of these things collaborate with your relationship with God. You should fear God. You should look for his favor. And you should strive to be friends of God. So friendship is the third F. And the fourth F is flexible. Be flexible. You know, make your marriage flexible. Don't go to the same old restaurant every day, every hour. You're doing the same thing. You can chart yourself. You're going to go around the corner at the same time. Change. Be flexible. Don't say, this is my side of the bed to sleep on, and you sleep on that side for 40 years. Say, tonight, all of these are mine. I'm going to sleep on your side. You sleep on mine. Because, see, God will change direction. He never changes his character. But sometimes you'll have to go through some tests and trials and tribulation. Sometimes the blessings will flow. There's a season and a time for all things. So in a marriage or in a God relationship, be ready to be flexible. Be ready to do things that you've never done before. Be ready to go places you've never gone before. Be ready to shake some hands that you've never shaken before. Don't get in a rut, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, but he is flexible. He'll bless you in the air. He'll bless you in the fire, and he'll bless you on the ground. He'll bless your going in, and he'll bless your coming out. So whatever God wants to do in your life, always be flexible enough to say, yes, God. And sometimes we need to bring that flexibility into our marriage. And then number five, fun. Have fun. God wants us to enjoy our salvation. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But the Bible also says he beautifies the meek with salvation. And the Bible also says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Bible also says that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And so we need to have some fun in our marriage. Have some pillow fights and get on the floor and wrestle one another and just have fun. Go out and just start running around the block and do have fun in your relationship. Have fun in your relationship with God. Just begin to just praise Him like you've never prayed. Go grab Him and say, God, I want to go forth in the dance with you. I want to just praise you until I fall out on my face. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your marriage. Have fun. And then number six, and I always say this, if you have a pencil in front of you, most pencils have erasers. Forgive one another. Because when you get so mad and upset at your partner, one day you're going to make a mistake. One day you're going to need an eraser. One day you're going to need some whiteout. And if you are not willing to forgive, God is not willing to forgive you. Forgive your mate. That's why they put erasers on pencils. Think about it. When you were in the lowest state of being, God forgave you through the shedding of His Son's blood. Have a forgiving spirit. And the last thing I want to share with you, when all odds are against you, when you're facing tests and trials and tribulations and adversity, when you're facing things that seem insurmountable, when you're facing adversities that seem like it is utterly impossible, the last F is have faith in God. Faith in God. He'll bring you out. He'll turn the world upside down for you if you trust Him, if you have faith in Him. Have faith in God. Husbands, wives, when you've tried everything, why don't you give God a chance? When the doctor shakes his head and walks away from your bed, why don't you have faith in God? When your money seems like it's not going to reach to the next month, why don't you trust God? Why don't you pay your tithes? Why don't you give your offering? Why don't you plant some seed and say, God, this money won't do me any good. I'm going to bless the house of the Lord. Have faith in God. Fear of God, favor, friends, flexibility, fun, forgiveness, and faith in God will keep your relationship with your husband, with your wife, with God, which was the model that God created marriage to do, to establish a real relationship with Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Christ. I'm going to pray for every one of you, those that may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have religion. You may think you have friendship and partnership, but if you're not born again, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not allowed the blood that was shed on Calvary to drench you and to cleanse you from all of your sins, the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said in the Word of God that He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. He gave His life. He shed His blood that we might have eternal life. If you go to hell, it's because you trespassed. You knocked the doors down to get there. Because Jesus paid the price that we might spend eternity with Him. Will you look to the Lord as I pray? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for everyone on this line and those especially that don't know You and the pardon of their sin. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. I pray right now, and I ask each and every one of you right now that you know if you took your last breath right now and left this body, in hell you would lift up your eyes because you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. I want you to repeat these words after me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as a sinner, wretched and undone. I come to you lost, bound, shackled. But I come to you with an open heart as an empty vessel before a full fountain, asking you to forgive me, asking you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I right now accept the supreme sacrifice that you purchased and paid for me at Calvary. And I accept that sacrifice by receiving your blood that cleanses me right now. And right now, I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Right now, I am a born-again believer because I now accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord into my heart. And if you've done that, I want you to call this radio station. I want you to call this radio station right now and tell the world that you are now born again. You're washed in the blood. The Bible said, if any man, woman, boy, or girl be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new creation. You're born again. And I love each and every one of you. And I'm going to turn it back in the hands of Evangelist Hannah. God bless all of you and keep
you. Thank you, man of God. Glory be to God. If you said that prayer and you on the phone lines or if you over the internet, you can go to www.kingdomdaughters.org and put in the comment box. We want to hear from you. We want to send you a Bible. Glory be to God. So go to www.kingdomdaughters.org. Give us your email address. Give us your phone number. We will call you. Glory be to God. As the angels is rejoicing because you have called on Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a word, man of God, that God has given you to go forth for the body of Christ. Pertaining to marriage and the revelation that God put in the man of God's belly. If you want to fellowship with God's harbor for all souls, you can go to www.godsharbor.org and you can get the schedule and the location of the church and the schedule of the church services. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we're going to open up the phone lines in a minute. For comments and prayer requests. Glory to God.
Praise the name of Jesus. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I am also here to support the line. I want to thank you, Bishop McFarland Jr., for just making it very plain about the requirements of marriage. I mean, when you talked about fear of God and favor and friendship and being flexible and then just having fun and forgiveness, forgiving one another and faith, essential keys that will make your marriage last, make your marriage have longevity. And I just want to thank you for just coming on the internet radio broadcast and just pouring out to God's people, sharing and giving of yourself so that the people of God can hear truth. And all those that are on the line, I just want to encourage you to eat the word. Just eat it so it can be part of your spirit, part of who you are. And if you are married enjoy the fruit of your marriage. Just enjoy it and be blessed of the Lord, and you bring favor to your husband, and also your husband will definitely reward you for that favor that you bring if he is a man of God. And I want to thank you personally for coming on, Evangelist.
You're welcome. I thank God for you and
God
being
bless
there.
You.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Evangelist Hannah had a little technical problems, and we're all on the board. The board is sealed, and we were blessed. I was listening, and also my husband listening in, and so we were just really blessed. At this time, I want to open up the lines. I don't know if Evangelist Hannah is back on the line or not.
Praise the Lord, woman of God. I'm back on the line.
Okay, praise God. Do you want to continue to open the lines up now?
Yes, if someone has noise in their background, if you have noise in your background, can you please use your phone? Glory to God. You can open the lines now, woman of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Well, now we are open up the lines for comments and for prayer requests. And I'm just going to say a prayer for single mothers out there in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just come before your throne right now, Lord God, and I lift up every single mother or father that's on the line, that's listening over the internet, in the name of Jesus, God, and in court of our feet. I cover them in your blood, Lord. I cover their children in the blood of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, Lord God, the mate, the spouse, the ex-father, the ex-wife, Lord God. I pray that they will sow into that child's life, Lord God, financially, emotionally, spiritually, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I lift him up to you right now, Father. Pray that your divine will be done in every situation, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray right now that you would touch your heart, Lord God.
Well,
I'm amazed, Lord God. I'm going to move to you, Lord God. And if you touch up, I'm going to that they would have intentions, Lord God, to do right by their children, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And they would not hold no out against their ex-spouse, Lord God, and take it out on the children, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray, strength, Lord God, over the man, the woman, God, underneath that, God, over my God, that is a single parent, Father God. I pray, strength, God, over this. In the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, hallelujah, Jesus. So, hallelujah, God, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, God. I lift up my friend Tammy in the Washington, D.C. area to you, Father God. I plead the blood over her and the children, Father God. And it is. She's on the line, but her phone is muted out. Hallelujah, Jesus. I pray, God, you continue to keep her, Lord God, and Xavier and Noah, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, Father, that she will continue to depend on you, Father, to supply every need for her household, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory be to God. Trust God, my friend. Continue to trust God. Have faith in God. Surely you can say to that mountain, be thou removed. And do not doubt in your heart, but believe the beast that you say, come from the past. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. You're truly worthy, God. Well, the lines are open. If anyone else has a comment or a prayer request, you may come forth now.
Hello?
Hello, I hear you.
Oh, hi. God bless you, Evangelist Hannah. This is Minister Rhea. God bless you.
God
bless you, my bishop. And all those on the line. I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful for the teaching that the bishop gave on tonight I'm a single mother, and I just give God all the glory for his keeping power. And being in relationship with him is preparing me for the day God blesses me with my husband. Until that day, I understand that my greatest relationship is with the Lord. And I receive that revelation at God's harbor through the teaching of my bishop and my Pastor Magnolia, and now my Pastor Odell III. And I'm just so grateful. And I just wanted to say that I truly enjoyed all that the bishop had to say and all that he spoke on with the relationship between marriage and the church and Christ and the Father God. So I'm very grateful, and I'm grateful to you, Evangelist Hannah, for the program. And I thank God for you, and I love you, and all those that are on the line, I praise God for you.
I love you too, woman of God. Glory to God. I know that the bishop spoke truth to tonight. I'm divorced, but with my marriage, the Reverend told me to marry a saved man, Hodo Bosia. But he was saved, but he wasn't Holy Ghost filled, God loving, God fearing man. Glory to God. So the marriage did not work. So now I pray for the things that the bishop talked about, that he'd be a man of God, that he'd be a doer of the word, that he'd be God loving, yes, God fearing, praying to have an intimate relationship with the Father. Back then I was a new baby in Christ, and I didn't know what to pray for. And the man said, a saved husband, glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. But he got to be saved and Holy Ghost filled and God loving,
yes,
God fearing, and a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word, and have an intimate relationship with God. Hallelujah. When you and your mate can get out on the floor and lay prostrate and cry and call out to God together, glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're truly worthy, God. You're truly worthy.
Amen.
Is there any more comments? You may come forth now. Glory to God. Is
praise
there any
Lord
more prayer requests? I hear you. Praise the Lord. I hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Hi, this is Sister Tammy Russell. I'm a member of Liberway Christian Center. Can you hear me?
Glory to God. Yes, I hear you.
Okay, and I was. This is my first time listening to the talk radio, and I really enjoyed the bishop's word tonight. And I just wanted to say it's an encouraging thing to really see my sisters and brothers in Christ as they come into the ministry on Sundays, how they support God's word with the way they live, and show me and encourage me how married couples are. So I just want to. And want to thank them for that. And also, I just want to thank God for his anointed word, for encouraging me that my marriage is not dead. I'm going through situations in my marriage, but I'm praying, I'm decreeing, and I'm being encouraged by our sisters in Christ and our brothers in Christ, and by the Holy Spirit is encouraging me. I'm getting fed and getting encouraged to keep praying and keep believing, and that my marriage is not dead. God is renewing, he's re-strengthening my marriage by his blood, and I just thank him for it. And I just wanted to comment about that and on that. I really enjoyed the talk radio show tonight.
Amen, woman of God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I pray that you would just continue to strengthen her, Father God. I pray right now you would give her the strength to stand, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, Father God, if her mate do not love you as Christ loved the church, Lord God, I pray right now that you would take every desire, Lord God, that is not of you, Lord God, that is of the world, Lord God, and that you would shift it right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I pray right now, Father God, hey, hold on these shots out of that you would hear the words of the wife, Father, that you would hear her cry, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray right now, Father, that she will continue, Lord God, to walk holy before you, God, and draw him in, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that she would do what the bishop spoke, Lord God. Watch what she say, watch what she do, and speak positive over the men of God that you have put into her life, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, Lord God. I pray you would commission your warfare and angels to warfare on her behalf, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, amen, and glory be to God.
Father, we thank you for every seed that you've sown, Lord God, to the ear gates of your people, Father. We ask you right now, Lord God, that you would keep him covered with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. Every word spoken against him, we cancel it. That's not like you. We cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're pouring your strength, supernatural power, up on him right now. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that the man of God have poured out, the time that he have set aside, Lord God, to minister to your people, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that you will give him the desires of his heart because he have delighted himself in you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that he is a man of honor. We thank you, Lord God, that he's living the life that you have given and ordained for him to live, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that every single step he take, Lord God, that you would give him the grounds, that you would give him, Lord God, the desires, the vision, the dreams, everything, Lord God, that's in his heart, Father, that's of you, Lord God, that it will manifest. And even, Lord God, we cover his ministry, Lord God, with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that oil that's on the pastor, Lord God, that it will trickle down, that anointing, Lord God, that comes from you, Father, that it will trickle in the people, Lord God, that they will catch hold to the vision, Father, and they would run with the vision, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that even his marriage relationship with you, Father, Father God, that it will be so knitted and tight together, Lord God, that no enemy can come against it in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that the seed he has sown to the ear gates, on the internet, Lord God, and even on the phone lines, Lord God, that they would take root right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for foundational seeds being planted in the ear gates of your people. And we speak to that seed right now, and we literally water it with the Spirit of God. And we thank you that it is so. We thank you, Lord God, that he be renewed, refreshed, and there will be no retaliation for what he have done on this night, on your behalf. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen and amen. And we thank you, Lord, for it is
amen. So. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And again, Kingdom Builders International is having prophetic training and activation workshop. God has not called everyone to be a prophet or a prophetess, but God has called every believer to know and recognize his voice. Glory be to God. So God gave Kingdom Builders a mandate to put the prophetic training and activation workshop together. Glory be to God. And again, you can go to our website at www.kingdomdaughters.org to get more information. You can also go to the website to make a donation. Glory be to God. It is a secure website. And again, men of God, Kingdom Builders, thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. We thank you and we appreciate you, men of God. And glory be to God. And next Sunday at the same time, a pastor, McFarland, Odell McFarland, the third, a CD teaching will be played from him. Glory be to God. So tune in, glory to God. Go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders, and you can see the schedule of what's going to be broadcast. We have pastors and apostles and ministers coming on all through the month. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And again, Kingdom Builders love you, and we thank you again, and you have a blessed evening.
Excuse me, Evangelist.
Yes.
Before you end the line, is the bishop still on the line?
Yes.
Okay, Bishop? You want to see if you have comments before we close out?
Bishop?
Yes. I want to personally thank Evangelist Hannah, this wonderful ministry. I am so humbled to be able to come on this line with such spirit-filled, anointed people of God. And to my own family, God's Harbor for All Souls, my heart will always, always treasure you for your commitment to the Lord. And I thank God for the anointed prayer, the covering that was placed upon my life during this period of time. It's been May 22nd. It's been challenging, but it's been things like this, being able to preach the gospel, teach the word of God, that has kept me strengthened at the absence of my wife, because I know where she is. I know she's in the presence of God. But after 40 years and 2 years of engagement, it's 42 years, it is a challenge, and I treasure those prayers that were offered up for me, because at this time I certainly can feel and sense your prayers, your concern. Thank you so much. I love all of you. There's nothing that I would not do for you within my capability that God has given me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for allowing even my son to have his tapes. Thank you for just letting people know that God's Harbor is available for anyone and everyone. God bless.
God bless, man of God.
God bless you, man of God.
We love you. Thank you.
We love you too, man of God. Hey, they call it Shatamobosi.
Oh, Shatamobosi.
Oh, they shut up. And it don't go to the Lord. Continue to strengthen the man of God. And it ain't shut up. Continue to strengthen his heart, God. And it don't go. He couldn't shut up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And it ain't shut up. Glory, God. We give you all the glory for tonight, God. We take no glory for ourselves, God. We give you all the glory, God. We thank you, Lord God, for opening doors, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We thank you for covering us, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hold on, God. We thank you for accepting. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I never see you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
it's true. Again,
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your
comforting spirit. Lord, you said whatever we ask, Lord God. Father, you said you would give it. Father, we ask, we're knocking, we're seeking, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you would release a spirit of comfort upon the man of God. Let him walk in it, Lord God. Ha-shatarabukse. 24/7 days a week, Lord God. Ha-shatarabukse. Let it hover, Lord God. Let that spirit of comfort hover over his house, Lord God. Let it hover, Lord God, over the doors, over the windows, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Your peace, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for the rain, Lord God. The rain, let the rain fall upon him, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Every need met, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that your angels are encamped around him from the north, south, east, and west. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We are joining our faith with the man of God. And, Lord God, we understand, Lord God, that it's all about kingdom, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that he's established in every single area, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that there is no lack, completed, perfected, Lord God, in you. In you, Lord God. In you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Let him flow through his days, Lord God, in the spirit. Surround him, Lord God, with encouraging spirits.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus. We decree and declare that it is so. We decree and declare that the spirit of comfort have been released upon the men of God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can call on you and get an answer. Thank you, God, for the manifestation, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
You're so worthy and you're so kind, Lord God. And we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the Lord is saying, man of God, he have heard your cry. And he know your heart. And God said, be in expectation.
Glory to God.
Let your days be in expectation, says the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
I receive that. I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Solid ground. Solid ground. You're walking on solid ground.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I receive that, woman of God. I receive it. I'm going to walk in expectation because I'm walking on solid ground. Everything God has intended for me, I will receive. And I'm walking in that expectation. I receive that word as it comes from your mouth, from the mouth of God. And I just want to thank God for this refreshing. I came to minister, but I've been ministered to. And it's such a refreshing, such an uplifting line with wonderful, wonderful saints of God. And I just feel privileged to be a part of this. Thank you so much. God bless. God bless you.
God bless. God bless everyone. We love you, and we thank God for everyone that called in and for all the internet listeners. Glory be to God. Good night.